Thank you. My name is Stephen Riley. I'm lead pastor here, and it's a privilege to shepherd you, the family of God at Living Waters, in this series that I'm still in, and it's been a few weeks, so you may have forgot about it, Warriors for Christ. I feel like I'm a trainer of a Warriors for Christ, spiritual warriors, those who God has given you power over the enemy, the devil. God's given you power over sin in your life, and I'm training you, sharpening you as a fellow soldier, warrior in Christ. And today, we're going to focus on our mind. And I'm telling you, from the beginning through this whole message, you have victory in your mind. You are not just left alone by whatever comes through your mind and whatever old patterns you have. That is not your destiny. That is not God's best for you. You have victory in your mind. I feel like that I need to alert you, and there's a scripture I've already used. I'm going to use it again in the intro here. Ephesians 5:14. Awake, soldiers. Awake. Be alert. Get out of your sleep. Get out of your dullness and arise from the dead, for Christ will shine on you. You have purpose in God's army, and the purpose is to win over sin, evil, and demonic forces in your life. And there is preparation going on in this series. We will to eventually get to scriptures that just flat out say, resist the devil and he will flee. But there's preparation going on. There's other areas I am strengthening you in. We were cleansed by repentance and humility about a month ago, where I told you you're built to win, in that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And what that means, that the old sinful nature that was in your heart has been pushed out. Look at this diagram that I've used a few weeks ago. That in your heart is not full of a selfish, sinful nature, the flesh, the carnal flesh. Instead, if you're a believer, you've been born again anew. This is what was born again, is your spirit. And in your heart, Jesus lives by his spirit. You have a soul of a mind, will, and emotions, and a body. And that sinful nature, often called the flesh in the Bible, was kicked out of your heart and now wars against your members of your body. And it, unfortunately, the Bible just says it's like it is, that nothing good dwells in our flesh. These hands are tempted to do things and touch things or hit things they weren't supposed to. These feet are tempted by the flesh to go somewhere it's not supposed to go. These eyes to look at something. The ears to hear. The tongue to say something. Though it's small, the Bible says, oh, what a powerful evil it can be. And so we want to present our members as instruments of righteousness, as tools of righteousness in our lives, as weapons of righteousness for Christ. God has already done the work for us. Jesus Christ went before us. That's what water baptism symbolizes. Every water baptism you see, there is a symbolism of Christ's work, of him going before us so we can come after him. Someone is saying, okay, I want to tell everybody, I give my life to Christ, and therefore I died with him and I'm buried, and you go underwater as if you're buried, a symbolism of being buried, not just by yourself, but with Christ, because he's done it. You can join him in his in his dying on the cross, his buried, and then you can join him in rising from the dead. And the new person, the new heart, the new creature is now alive in him, because you are joined with him in his resurrection. And then his ascension. Eventually you'll go to heaven and you'll be following Christ all the way back to heaven, because he's done the work first. You follow. And that's why your victory is sure in the flesh. That's why you can take up the cross daily and follow him, live a crucified life. That's why today you can renew your mind. Your mind is not just left alone to the world to take it wherever it wants to. No, you have victory in your mind because Christ has already done the work. Galatians 2:20, Paul is saying, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it says, he loved me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. You love me from heaven. You love me from, your teachings are so loving. No, he died on the cross for me. That's such a loving, so, listen, his work has effect. His cross and obedience on the cross and resurrection, we get to live a crucified life, victory over the flesh. We get to be raised with him. His work has effect. It's just not nice expressions of love. So you're destined to win in your mind. Let's talk about this real, very real battle in the mind. And it's one that, you know, the world, the secular counselors realize this principle. Psychologists, even if they're not believers, even if they don't know the word, I mean, the understanding that our minds, our thoughts have this power in us, over us. That's why there's so much teaching about positive thinking. Watch your thoughts. You're just depressing yourself. Think different kinds of thoughts. Have positive. You are bringing yourself down. And so this truth is known throughout civilization. You need to work on this. What's so awesome about us is not just we can put positive thoughts in our mind, but truthful thoughts that are based out of the truths of Scripture. See, Scripture is alive. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's, the Bible says, the truth will set you free. That's the truth of the Word. It, the Word is what, the Word is truth. The Word sanctifies us, it says. It cleanses us. It changes us. Let's go to Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, and we'll see this battle in the mind. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we see this phrase right here, set their minds on. So it shows us that we really do, as humans created in God's image, we have this ability to set our minds in a direction. And when you set it on things of the flesh, it is going to be nasty. It is going to be ugly. It is going to be full of selfishness, full of pride. It's going to be full of lust and greed. It is not going to be good. And that can happen to us, even as Christians, even though God's done this work for you already, you can choose and go there. Next verse, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. This is that serious. This is a life and death choice for you, practice for you. This teaching means life and death. It says that a mind set on the flesh is death. Well, hey, this whole bringing yourself down into depression, the devil only has to do what he has to do of lying to us with little thoughts. And when we embrace that depression, that discouragement, and we take it down, it'd be better if I just didn't live any longer. The devil might not even start there. He might not even have to put that. If you let your mind be set on the flesh, it's going to go to something destructive, something that's going to ruin your life, even suicide. And so you just should know, hey, that thought of what? Suicide, that is from the devil. That is from the flesh. I don't want any part of that. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I don't want you in my life. And you start thinking truthful thoughts that you're loved by Jesus. And what he did on the cross gives you freedom from sin and depression. Listen, stand against, don't let these suicide thoughts have free reign. You look at it, what it is. It is a destructive weapon from Satan, from darkness. Maybe he just got you and you let that thing go and just have its free reign. And he didn't even tell you to do that. It's just you let the flesh and the mind take off and run with that evil, depressing thought. Because a mind set on the spirit is life and peace. See the total opposite there? There is a battle. There is opposition going on inside our mind. It's coming from our flesh, and the life and peace comes from the Holy Spirit in our heart that illuminates our mind. Let's go to the next verse. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So there is hostility and opposition where there is a battle going on. I want to take a little break here in this teaching here and get back to some squirrel stories. Those cute little squirrels that are so cute and seem to be just such a beautiful part of nature. Well, don't be deceived. And the squirrels in Philadelphia are like Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is a tough and rough place. Blue-collar workers, they're big and they're strong. And in Philly, we lived there in Pennsylvania 13 years, Philadelphia 7 years. And we saw that if you're a fan in the professional sports, it can get intense. And they were known as rowdy, rough fans. Even if you played, I was at a Philadelphia Phillies baseball game, and this outfielder was having a bad season, and those fans in the outfield stands just a few feet away reminded him of it with not nice words. In the old football stadium for the Philadelphia Eagles, it was called Veterans Stadium. When it snowed, they threw snowballs at the opposing teams and the opposing fans, and even picked out spouses of the players to try to hit them with the snowballs. They had to make a rule. They had to clean the stadium out of snow before the fans could come in. And they took beer sales away for 2 weeks to try to punish them. It gets so out of control with the rowdiness and fights and all, they actually placed a judge in the stadium with an open court. Right then, the police could just take them and go right to the judge, skip all the judicial processes and just get it done and convict them right there on the spot. The squirrels are no different. You would think you would be safe from enemies and attack in your own little front yard, backyard. We lived in a older neighborhood that was at least 50 years old. It was the neighborhoods built after World War II, and men were coming back and starting families. And so the yards were small, but the trees were big because the trees had been there 50 plus years. And in our neighbor in the front yard, there was a big oak tree. And Delisa and I both experienced this before in our front yard, just walking down the sidewalk, being a very peaceful person. And you start noticing that something, a twig or an acorn, would drop down and almost hit you. And you say, where did that come from? You look up and there's a squirrel up in a tall branch up there. And I was being good-hearted, and I'm thinking, maybe there's a squirrel's nest close by, and he's just protecting the little babies from any intruders. There was no squirrel's nest. This is just a mean, rude squirrel. And so I want to tell you that the hostilities are real. It can come from any direction. It can surprise you where opposition and now the battle of the mind is taking off. We have a destiny to win, and I'm going to show you. You just need to take this phrase in 1 Timothy 6:12, and you need to memorize it. It's short. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, normally you don't put these words together. Fight the good fight of faith. You're thinking a fight is oh no, are we going to win or not? Oh no, it's going to get ugly. I don't know. It's going to be painful. Let me tell you, you are destined to win. Let's just read this verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This good fight is one that we declare to others in a testimony. Look, I have the victory. This is the victory I'm believing for, I'm living for, I'm experiencing. You want to proclaim that to many witnesses. And it's a victory that's not just in this situation. We have a big picture in our heart. We see it's eternal life victory. So really, even though it will get tough on the earth, battles will be all through our lives, we have victory through Christ in eternity. We are as good as in heaven today. There's, oh, I hope I keep my salvation. I don't want to miss heaven. Listen, Jesus lives in you. He gives you a promise and guarantee. You keep that mindset on the Spirit. You're going to receive life and peace, not death. And your eternal destiny is sure of receiving eternal mercy in heaven and escaping the wrath of God in hell. This is an incredible phrase. Another phrase, you got to fight the good fight. You want to remember that phrase. Here's another one coming up. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Fight the good fight of faith. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? For we have the mind of Christ. Oh, people, remind yourself over and over. I have the mind of Christ. I am not susceptible to just get beat up for what's going on around me. This opening statement is almost silly. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord and may instruct him, God? Well, none of us. He is creator. We are creation, and he gives us when we're saved. That's one of the gifts that he gives us is the mind of Christ. This mind of Christ is our surety, our promise that we have the ability to clean up our thoughts, to get rid of toxic thoughts, to not be in bondage to strongholds. This is the promise that, hey, when you said yes to Jesus and turned away from your sin, when you said, I believe that you died on the cross, rose from the grave for me, and I believe, I give you my life. This is a miracle of the new birth in you. You're a new person in Christ Jesus, and you have a new mind that still needs some cleaning up, but now you have the ability to clean it up. See, when I say you have victory, you're destined for victory, I mean things like this. Feeling stuck and overwhelmed by the patterns, thought patterns in your mind. No, God gives you victory. You're not stuck. That these toxic thought patterns that just drive you into depression. It starts with a little disappointment, then discouragement, and then it leads to depression. And that is not God's will for you. You're not enslaved to that. God's peace and life is for you from the mind of his Spirit. encouragement is for you. That whenever you're tempted by that hot button in your life, whatever that is, lust or anger or something else, boom, it just hits you and now you don't have any control over it. No, listen, you have the God of peace living in you, the God of purity, and you're not susceptible just to fall prey to whatever temptation hits you. You won't fall for the ways and the trends of the world where there's just this popularity of thought and philosophy and it comes and you just succumb to it, this worldwide dread that's going on. No, I don't have to live in anxiety. I can have trust and I have a God that's bigger than all that. I trust him and I receive his peace and joy. This is what I'm talking about. This transformation that can happen in the brain, he's actually giving much of this ability to anyone, and it's a scientific fact now. And medically, doctors and neuroscientists are so thrilled that even stroke victims have great hope of retraining the thoughts in their brain. I'm going to be showing you some examples of Dr. Caroline Leaf's teaching on this. She's a Christian neuroscientist. She has a number of books out, a bunch of YouTube things out. That's her website, drleaf.com. And she is explaining really what this transformation, this renewal of the mind is like and what happens. See, you have a mind, but your mind is the spiritual side of your brain. Your brain is an organ. And when your mind is set on the Spirit, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you have authority over your brain, over the organs of your body. And so your brain is the physical part of it. I just saw a praise the Lord over there from Jennifer Shepherd, who was a brain bleed victim about, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. And didn't know if she could live or even come back to being the beautiful person she is today. Glory to God, because God rebuilt her brain because of praise. Let's just praise God for a minute. I'm just touched here. Oh gosh. I'm not going to tell the story. We should tell the story. We need to retell that story. I remembered it was a Sunday afternoon, and with Christian friends for like a picnic type of thing, and something went off in here that night. We're praying. There's intercessors praying. I was at the hospital. I anointed the room to be a chamber of healing. This room is a place of healing. I put oil on every wall and dedicate it for the Lord. This is a place of healing. And she went in emergency surgery that night because a brain bleed just burst. And it's a miracle that what we're looking at every day. And it took, like Dave Eaton's message a little while ago, hundreds of miracles day by day, month by month, even into years of her loved ones, Nathan, her husband, and others serving and speaking into this brain of restoration and renewal. So praise God for this evidence of your miraculous restoration, Lord. We're not bound to what happens in our brain. You are able to restore it. This is what it looks like, an image of toxic thoughts. We have healthy thoughts. They're scattered all over our brains. And we have, because of the mind of the Spirit, we have authority over our brain and developing new thoughts. We don't have to keep those toxic thoughts. Next slide shows us that they connect to other thoughts. And synapses are those wiggly lines that connect these neurons to one another, these thoughts to one another, and a thought can become a pattern of thoughts. And that's why disappointment can turn to discouragement, to turn to depression, can turn to a thought of suicide. It's a pattern of thoughts. But we have this ability and the truths of Scripture to say, I recognize that thought pattern as being toxic and not according to God's love, peace, and goodwill for me. I'm going to, and just go ahead and say it, and go to the Scripture to find it. I believe this for me. And you say that all things turn for the good for those who love God. Thank you, Lord, that He's a God of peace and He gives me peace. And you develop, and repetitiously, you end up can counsel over time these negative thought strings of patterns together and develop new ones, and that much more with the power of the Word of God. For me, I am an extrovert, in many ways an extreme extrovert, and my mind wanders a lot. And I do have a scattered brain, and I can really sense it when I'm going to use the term under spiritual attack. Because my scatteredness of my thoughts go to a whole nother level. And I start seeing that, I go, oh, okay. All right, I get it, devil. I get it, demonic forces. You're bringing it on heavy right now. As a victorious soldier, I'm not going to just sit there and let that go on without resisting, without answering with a weapon, with a truth. It could be as simple as I'm going to turn on some praise music, some worship music, so my mind and my ears can take in the truth and direct my thoughts toward Him. It can be as easy as, I can't wait to get to this in this series, probably in a few weeks, just put on the full armor of God that is in Ephesians chapter 6, one piece at a time. I'm telling my mind who I am. I am dressed with armor for victory from head to toe. I'm dressed for victory. It could be I start praying in the Spirit, where I just want to edify my spirit, where my spirit becomes what's leading me and not this anxiety that's trying to take over my mind and scatter my brain. And if you don't know what I mean by the prayer language or speaking in tongues for your own spirit's strengthening, ask us and we'll show you in the Scripture where that's one of the blessings for us. Sometimes it's you just turn it over quickly to prayer, where I'm being bombarded, and it could be a lust image from some digital thing or whatever. I don't even know, but I'm going to pray for that woman because she's not an object. And you turn what the devil brought to you as a temptation, you turn around and put it in a prayer for somebody. He hates that. It could be you are so frustrated and angered somebody, and your bitterness is getting, and so you're just thinking about that face of that person and the bitterness. Every time I think of that person or see that face, and you start rehearsing how you're going to get back at them, and you say, this is a call to pray for that person. I set my mind on the Spirit, not on the flesh. Because those thought patterns of the flesh are taking me toward judgment, toward that person, and wanting them to, something happen, bad happen, whatever. It just keeps on going. No, I turn into prayer. So, hey, I've just turned into praying for somebody all day. The devil hates that. My friend of many years, we don't live real close to each other. So when we see each other, we've got to plan it in advance. We do a lunch together usually, and I hadn't seen him in a number of months. I knew he was under a lot of stress and struggle. And so I was just taken aback what I saw during this lunchtime. That his voice was calm, his body was calm, but when I, here we are at a table, I could see his eyes were just scattering, jolting back and forth. And I would, he wasn't looking for help. He wasn't asking me for advice. And yet I'm seeing this and I'm alarmed. I know this is not normal. And any little crack where I could see there's an opening, I would just share my love, share my concern in little tidbits that I would just get in this conversation over lunch. And I found out it was a number of weeks later, he said, "You know, Stephen, thanks for speaking in to me. I realize now that I was in depression." And he didn't know it. He didn't feel it. He didn't see it. He didn't realize it. It was masked. And yet he was, and he couldn't discern it. And these seeds of truth and love that I placed in there, it sunk in over time, and he went and got help. And he said thank you to me. I want to spend some teaching time on a passage that's very helpful. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. So if you let me kind of dig in deeper here, let's sit in this passage for a little while, okay? I'm using as a resource in the Greek language Rick Renner in this passage. He's brilliant. He understands history of the time and the context. And when he gets into Greek, he'll get into how this Greek word gives us a fuller picture and image. Verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So what I want to break down some words for you. Verse 4 mentions that, hey, there are this, that our warfare is not carnal, but mighty in God. Carnal just being natural, being of the flesh, being carnal, we get our word carnival from that. It's very just flesh oriented, just self, you know. Now, I'm not saying if you go to a carnival, you're doing something evil, okay? But you get the concept that it's all for yourself and fun, and you can waste money and just have a blast, and who cares? And there's, again, I'm not putting down carnivals. They're a lot of fun. But it's that sense of it's all just self-indulgence for me, and it's greed. It's not carnal, it's not natural, it's mighty in God and pulling down strongholds. And these strongholds are an image of a fortress with walls. And back in these ancient times, every power center city had walls for protection, for to win any battles. And so you see these fortified cities and fortresses. You're not gonna. It's like, oh, it's hopeless. There's no way we can win. It's built on this top hill, and they have all the advantage of the height and the wall. There's no way. Listen, we have weapons that are mighty in God in pulling down those fortresses. Then he says this Greek word can also mean prisons, where. Not only you can't defeat it, but now you're trapped in a prison. And it reminds me who Jesus said he is. He said, "I come in the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release and freedom to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed." This is what Jesus does, and the power of the name of Jesus. Let's look at this word warfare that we see in this scripture, that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. He says this is the Greek word stratos, where we get the word strategy. And so it tells us that yes, there is a strategy of the enemy coming after us. This is not some random thing. The devil is, and these demons of his are watching, and what's going on in your life and the people around you in your history. They have strategy in the way they talk. Well, listen, we have strategy too, because our warfare is mighty. But don't think that these temptations or attacks are random. They have strategic to it, strategy to it. I want to give you two Old Testament stories here that illustrate this. We have Moses, who has just led out the people of Israel from 400 years of slavery out of bondage, and it's through God's mighty miracles of 10 plagues, just totally submitting the Egyptian leaders and unto submission, and they release the people, and then the Egyptian army, the greatest army on the earth, comes after them, and then God defeats them and drowns them in the Red Sea. There is all this victory. Now they just need to go into the promised land, and Moses says, let's put 12 spies, one leader from each tribe, to go in the promised land. Spy that we've never seen it. We don't know if there's mountains and rivers or deserts or what kind of plants and trees. And they send these spies. They come out. OMG. 10 of the 12 leaders who have just experienced all of this deliverance out of Egypt are saying, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. How did they know what the giant, there were giants in the land, how they were thought of? When they finally went to Jericho 40 years later, the people of Jericho were so afraid because they knew of the 10 plagues coming out of Egypt. The giants didn't look at them like grasshoppers, but they let this fear overcome them. They tell all the people, Joshua and Caleb are saying, no, the two other leaders, we can do this. God is bigger. This is no problem. And this fear swept the whole people, and none of them wanted to go. They wanted to go back to Egypt. God was about ready to just finish them off, start new with Moses. Moses prayed for mercy, and the mercy was, well, those adults will die in the desert, and those who are 19 and younger will live and go into the promised land. It's a decision of life and death, folks. Take these thought patterns seriously. Learn to use your warfare. Don't let spread from a fear from other people just spread over you and take over you. The opposite is true with Jehoshaphat. 400 years later, he's the king of Judah and southern Israel. He's surrounded by three different nations, and they're totally outnumbered. There is no hope of defeating. He goes straight into prayer and fasting. God gives them instruction. God's going to give them the victory. He sends, check this out, a strategy from the Lord. See, when you stop and pray, God gives you strategy. He'll give you next steps. You wait. And that's what he did. And they actually put the praise team out front of the army, and they went to the position to where the battle would occur, with the praise people just singing praises to God out on this ridge. And God, it says, set ambushes. And what happened was, God took two of the nations against one. They totally wiped the one enemy out. Then these two turned on each other, and they just, the enemy totally just killed each other off. The Israelites didn't have to lift up one sword. See, the strategies are different. The devil has a strategy. God will give you a strategy. When we pray and receive a strategy from the Lord, then we go ahead and take captive, that's what it says here, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And he said, when something's in captivity like this, and those military days, it's like the enemy is completely defeated. It's like you've got the enemy that is totally surrendered, and you have a spear in its back, and you're telling it where it's going into that prison. You're going over there. You're getting out of my mind, and you are completely submitted to me in the name of Jesus. See, folks, you are going to either, you're going to capture your thoughts, or your thought patterns are going to capture you. And this is the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit has this ability to capture your toxic, destructive thoughts, and you capture them. I would like the praise team to go ahead and come up, and I'm looking forward to this series. I believe next Sunday we're getting deeper in the renewing of the mind and what scriptures, how they instruct us that we can cleanse, we can change these thought patterns in our mind. That it's an instruction by God. It's not a choice. He wants us to do this. So some things to take home and in review here to try to just bring it down to a few points. Pray and give it to God. Whatever is bombarding you, pray and give it to God. Prayer should be done first. I was a few days ago just really embarrassed in a sense. Even though I'm a pastor, I hadn't thought of praying about a situation. Instead, I was just coming up with wisdom and having, you know, analyzing it and trying to come up with a, you know, a good plan. And hold, we haven't prayed yet. Pray first. Catch yourself. Hold it. We haven't prayed yet. Stop. Let's pray. Wait and listen. Expect God then to give you a new strategy. A strategy that's not of the natural, but it's of the Spirit. Who would have thought that you should put the praise team in front of the military, and right when they started praising God, that's when those ambushes happened and the victory came. You learn some go-to strategies, some go-to weapons, and God will lead you and develop some more in your life. Next, recognize and capture the toxic thought patterns. Catch them, realize them, write them down on a piece of paper and burn them, tear them up. You want to take a stand and realize these things are destructive. They're not going to be staying in my mind. I am a warrior for Christ. And then you replace it with a scripture, with a truth. You write it down and put it in your car, on the mirror, you put it on your phone to remind, to repetitively say, no, this is the truth, the new thought pattern that I embrace, I believe in. Just as a resource, and I've handed these out before, made them available, this is a great little handout. You can put it in your Bible called My Identity in Christ. This is who I am. And it's just statements from scriptures front and back. This kind of thing, you either just develop on your own a set of scriptures that you need at that time or use something like this, but you need to have truths easily to grab hold onto from God's Word to replace and put those healthy, godly truth thought patterns in your mind. We are available for prayer here on Sunday mornings. We're available online. We have a phone number for 30 minutes, right starting here very soon, for prayer. We want to be a people of prayer. We want to be a people that you can go to and know that whatever's bothering you, whatever's attacking you, you're getting kind of lost by yourself in this thing. Well, don't leave without prayer. And I'm going to go ahead and just say a blessing and a declaration of who we are. And you're free to be dismissed or stay for more worship. Lord Jesus Christ, we are your willing warriors. Thank you for the promise that we are victorious warriors and that our mind is the mind of Christ. And therefore, whatever's unclean or ungodly or toxic in our minds are not allowed to stay in our brains, Lord God. But Lord, you give us strategies. You give us a way, Lord God, to bring renewal and a thought patterns of freedom, of us experiencing your love in a deeper way, of us believing and receiving your peace, of us believing in having hope and victory moving forward. Thank you, Lord, that right now we together as a family, we come against the lying spirit of suicide, the lying spirit of depression, the lying spirit of discouragement, and say, you are bought by the blood of Christ. You're not alone. You belong to Him. You have a victory in Christ to live a life of freedom, of joy and peace. Your future is good. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you bless us each day. And we go into this week believing that you have blessings for us. And victories for us in our mind. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great, great week.